It's time for the Car Doctor on AM 950 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's the Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
And good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston, and 100.3 FM. If you're in the Boston metro area, you can listen to us on Crystal Clear FM as well, so you have that to listen to. So there's all kinds of things going on today. In a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking to John Scali. He is from Honda. We'll be getting him on the phone in just a few minutes. Also, talk about some of the latest automotive news that's out there. We'll talk about that. I had the opportunity yesterday to go out to Sandwich to talk to a group of guys at the Sandwich Retired Men's Club. Boy, did I feel overwhelmed is the word. There were college professors, engineers, a guy who set up a nuclear power plant. What a very extremely educated group of people. And I tried to entertain them the best I could with the knowledge that I had. But what a great group. And, you know, if you ever think that I can be interesting to listen to at your group, feel free to shoot me an email or give me a call and be happy to come out and talk to your group about car things and automotive things and whatever's kind of on your mind about all of that. I'd be happy to come out. You just my email is jpaul@aaanortheast.com. And the other thing is you can always listen to past programs on the podcast page. You can find our podcast on WROL Radio, or you can go directly to the podcast, which is johnfpaul.podomatic.com, or just Google Car Doctor Radio, you'll find it. Or if you're on Facebook, you can look up on Facebook Car Doctor Podcast, and you'll find a Facebook page for that, and it has all the programs. There's nothing else on there other than links to the different programs that we do. With us on the phone is John Scali. He's the chief engineer and senior manager in the Integrated Controls Division of Honda Research and Development of the Americas. He oversees a lot of the different technology that's out there today, and Honda has a lot of safety technology that people don't always think about. And you know, about 4,000 people, almost 4,000 people were killed and 400,000 injured due to distracted driving. And you know, it's something we have to think about because people aren't paying attention. So we have to make the cars pay attention. John, good morning, and welcome to the Car Doctor program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we look at is technology today, and we're adding a lot of technology to cars that can become distracting. But Honda's doing its part to try to keep the cars safe when the drivers aren't, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we've just reached a milestone where our Honda sensing system basically was just applied to the 1 millionth car. In our Hondas. So we're very proud of that, and we know that has a lot of benefit to the customer as far as keeping them safe and helping them, you know, drive down the road.
And what, in a nutshell, what is the Honda sensing system for people who
Honda sensing is a suite of features that we put. It includes collision mitigation, brake system, adaptive cruise control, lane keep assist, road departure mitigation, forward collision warning. So that suite of features is what we consider Honda sensing.
And one of the things when you kind of look at some of these features is there is a kind of a bit of a learning curve and an expectation about what happens. I mean, there was an old joke years ago about, you know, the customer that, this was, I don't know, 40-year-old joke, I think, you know, the customer that went out to buy a new car and it had cruise control in it, and the salesperson said, you know, this, you know, with the ride and the comfort and the cruise control, you know, the car just about drives itself. And a couple of days later, the car came in a tow truck all smashed up. And he said, what happened? He said, well, you told me the car drove itself, so I crawled in the back seat and took a nap. You know, and I think some of these features do need a little bit of explanation sometimes, you know, what they all mean. And the terms are a little bit different, too, whether it's, you know, whether you have collision mitigation or somebody has automatic emergency braking. You know, people need an explanation of this. And it's great to see that, you know, Honda is having all these systems and working to try to educate the public about it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I know every OEM has various forms of this technology. We all call them different things. There has been some discussion and work to try to standardize that. But at the moment, everybody still has their own trademark to different things.
Yeah.
But that's one of the challenges we have, is the learning curve and how to educate the customer and how to use these technologies. And to really understand the limitations of them. They're not, you know, they can't do everything. They're there to support you and assist you. But if you over rely on them, then bad things happen.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's been clearly evident in the past few months with some of the self-driving vehicles that we've seen, that people have sort of over relied on the technology. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, you have your version of automatic emergency braking. Does that slow the car down or stop it completely?
It kind of does both. So at there's a certain speed threshold at which it will actually bring you to a complete stop. It can't defy physics. So if you're over speeding and, you know, going too fast in a certain situation, then yeah, it'll still slow it down, but it may not completely avoid the collision.
Mm-hmm.
So for most cases, you know, in traffic and your change in velocity of the other cars, it would prevent the crash in a lot of those scenarios. But yeah, if you're just going way too fast and the detection's somewhat late, then yeah, it would slow you down, but still have an impact.
Yeah. And, slowing you down is a good thing, because you know, if you can minimize the crash forces that much better. And as part of the systems that I have seen from Honda in the past, and not so much a active safety system, but I guess more passive, is Honda's Lane Watch. Does that figure into, you know, where you turn the right turn signal on and all of a sudden you get a view of what's happening on the right side of the car? Does that figure into this package as well?
Not officially. I mean, we have that on a lot of our cars, but it's not necessarily officially a part of the Honda Sensing package, mm-hmm. I don't believe, because we're actually leaning more and more into the blind spot indicators,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of more of an active system where it actually uses the radars in corners to detect cars in your adjacent lanes and actually make a decision and turn on an indicator either in the near the mirrors there. So Lane Watch is a useful technology, but we found BSI is actually more effective in preventing crashes. So we're starting to transition more towards that.
More towards that, yeah. As you know, one of the things that we've noticed, you know, and some of the things we've seen is how we're starting to see some of the even at AAA, we're doing a study now about some of these vehicles and how they affect overall claims of insurance costs if cars get into crashes. You guys have done some studies as well that show that insurance collision claims are down with some of this technology, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I think IHS and Hildes ran some studies with us, and they've shown collision claims are down 11% or almost $400 and reduction injury claims are down about 28%. So with this technology, we think it really has a good overall benefit for the customer, just in terms of not just saving lives, but just overall, you know, minor accidents and collisions.
Mm. The first car that I ever drove that had stability control in it was a very expensive Mercedes-Benz, and it's not unusual to see some of this technology in the top line vehicles. But Honda's working on trying to put this in just about every one of their cars, right?
That's right. Actually, our applications have doubled since 2016, and as of 2018, it'll be on 2/3 of all our cars. And it's not just the expensive cars. It's all the way down to our lower price models, Fit and Civic. So we're planning to have it standard on everything by 2020, which is a couple of years ahead of an agreement, like a memorandum of understanding agreement we had with all the OEMs or several of the OEMs about making at least AEB standard, mm-hmm. autonomous emergency brakes standard, by 2022. So, of course, we're definitely meeting that fulfillment 2 years earlier. But with our suite, we're actually giving all the customers all the features, not just AEB.
Mm.
So with AEB, you get everything else, ACC, lane keep, lane departure, road departure mitigation, and such.
A lot of three-letter acronyms.
Yes.
Or
the alphabet soup, yeah, as we call it.
Yeah. Or TLAs, so an acronym for three-letter acronyms, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, all of these systems together, you look at the technology and you wonder, you know, because of mass production, are the prices going to stay pretty comparable to what we're seeing in today's cars? I mean, is it going to add an extra additional cost to the vehicles?
Yeah, of course, the technology, there's a price tag to the technology. Mm-hmm. So in some cases, it will go up. But as with all cars, as new technology and new things, right, there's, you know, cars will kind of generally climb. So we're doing what we can to kind of maintain the price point of all the cars.
Yeah, my point of, like, the first car I drove with stability control, it was a Mercedes. It was, you know, it was an expensive option and an expensive car. And just the idea that you can buy a Honda Fit that has this suite of safety systems in it, and it's not going to, you know, change the price of the car dramatically. It's not going to go from the price of a Honda Fit to the price of a Honda Accord.
No, of course not. Yeah. I mean, I think with this suite, we're offering this suite, you know, it's around $1,000 or so.
Oh, okay.
So, right. So it's not ridiculously expensive, but there is a price tag associated.
It has to be to keep people safe. And I know you're not the marketing guy, you're the engineering guy, but do you have any idea what kind of customers, what level of acceptance customers have for paying a little bit more for safety features? I know somebody who recently bought a new car, and one of the things they wanted was, you know, this suite of safety features in their car, and they were more than willing to pay for it because I think they were probably in their, you know, mid to late 50s, and they said, you know, I know my vision is not as good as it used to be, my reaction times aren't as good as it used to be, and if my car can help make up for some of that, you know, that puts me on the side of being a safer driver. Do you have any idea, a feel for a customer acceptance of these systems, and you know, what percentage of customers are willing to pay for it?
Yeah, I don't have an exact percentage, but I know when we study the demographics of our various models, safety consideration is always in the top three, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, quality, dependability, safety, affordability, those are kind of the top three of why people kind of buy Honda products. So we know safety is a major factor, you know, depending on, you know, of course, the Odyssey, so family vehicle, you got kids, so safety is probably always number one or very close to it. You know, Civic, Fit, you know, the lower end cars, you know, a lot of younger buyers are buying that. But usually the parents of those, you know, younger drivers are the ones doing the purchasing. So they value safety. So we know safety's a key thing. So, but as far as percentage, I don't have that fact.
Yeah, that's fine. And I know you're the safety guy, the engineering guy, but you're not the guy who thought to put a shop vac in the back of an Odyssey, are you?
No,
because that was brilliant.
Yeah, we thought it was a good idea as well.
Yeah, no, that was.
I mean, I have an Odyssey, and I know how dirty those things get. So putting that in there really really helps maintain that car.
Yeah, it really does. but you know, all these systems we're seeing, and you know, it's again, I think it's part of the education, and I'm glad you joined us today to try to kind of educate the public a little bit about some of the systems that are here. And if people want to find more information, is all of this stuff on Honda's website?
Yes. If you just go to website, you know, as if you're going to research the cars,
yep.
or Google Honda Sensing, or YouTube, I think there's videos not necessarily made by Honda, but a lot of people are showing these systems in action. I think you can find a lot more information, or, you know, just go into your dealer and talk to them. They can talk you through it, show you how the controls work. And we wish everybody would do that when you are buying a new car. Even if you have a recent car you purchased, if you're not quite sure how that system works, please go to your dealers and have them explain everything, you know, as well as the limitations and how the controls all work. Because that's what we want. We want people to use this technology, and we think it really has value and actually makes your driving experience much safer.
Yeah, I was talking to a group of people yesterday, and one of the folks came up to me, and they had a new car with the latest safety features in it. And he was somebody who bought this car to get the latest safety features, and he likes it. And in fact, he said he's pretty sure it's all helped him already since he's owned it. But he also looked at me and said, you know, I'm pretty sure the stuff in the car that I just don't know what it does, or how it works, or things that I'm overlooking. And I'm like, well, that's where you really owe it to yourself to go to the dealer and have them explain it to you. I mean, you bought the car. There's, you know, you want to know what the car does or what it doesn't do. So you know, you know, that not to climb in the back seat and take a nap. You know that the car has certain limitations, but it also may have some features in there that you're not aware of because either you were so excited about buying the new car you weren't listening, or that it wasn't explained to you. So, you know, go back and talk to the
right.
dealer and find out about all the things that your car can do for you.
Right. Or we also explain everything in the owner's manual as well. Maybe sometimes that's not as easy to understand versus somebody explaining it to you, but you can also go there.
You mean the least read book ever published?
Yeah, right. That's right.
Yeah. Every time I ever looked at a used car, the owner's manual is always in pristine condition.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But the information on how to operate it and the limitations are listed in the owner's manual, or if you have a digital version of it, it's in there as well.
Yeah. No, it's great. And again, Honda.com is how you find out about this information. Go there, you know, look it up. And like you said, YouTube, a great place. YouTube, I think, is the second most popular search engine, you know, on the internet right now. So you can find out a lot of information. And some of the more progressive dealers, some of the sales folks will go out and do their own little YouTube videos of some of the features in the latest cars. And that's great stuff to see.
That's
and
right.
it can help. It can certainly
Absolutely.
Help customers learn more about the vehicle that they're considering buying or one they already own.
Great. Absolutely.
Hey, John, thanks for taking some time out of your Saturday morning to join us up here in Boston. I hope where you are, it's not going to turn cloudy and rainy like it is here in Boston.
Unfortunately, it's the same.
Same. Yeah, that's what I thought. Hey, John, thank you very much.
No, thank you.
All right, take care.
No,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You
Bye.
Too. That was John Scali, chief engineer for Honda, and a much longer title as well. Why don't we take a break, pay some bills. When we come back, we'll do our car review of the week, and which also means trivia is coming up right after that. Now, other than that, your phone calls at 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. We'll be right back.
I don't want nothing in the world you got. No, you can't do nothing for me. You can't do nothing for me. I'll buy you a diamond ring. I'll buy you a diamond.
Just waiting for the car reference. Because I was, when it first came on, I was thinking, well, okay, Elton John, but where's the car reference? But there is a car reference right there. So there we go.
There is indeed.
Yeah. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Phone lines are open if you would like to join us and talk about your car, your first car, your experience with Elton John. I don't know. It could happen. Somebody could have met Elton John when he was at Gillette Stadium, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What if he drives?
I'm sure he does, but not while he's on tour.
I wonder if he owns a car.
I'm sure he owns several.
I don't. Well, you never know. I mean, sometimes people don't. I mean, I was listening to somebody talking the other day, and somebody said, whoever it was, I don't remember exactly who it was, but they said, oh yeah, I have a Land Cruiser and an Audi. And the person said to him, you actually own cars? You're in limos all the time. And you live in New York. Why do you own a car? And I guess he does drive, whoever it was, does drive once in a while, but he does have a car. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through. Let's talk to Ken in Topsfield. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm working on my car today, and I just need a quick question answered. I'm taking the snows off and putting the summer tires on. It's a front-wheel drive car.
You know it's going to snow on Monday, right?
That's it. But yeah. It won't last the days along.
I'm afraid to move my snow shovel into the shed. I know as soon as it's going to happen, it's going to snow again. So,
but the snowblower is still ready.
Yeah, there you go.
And I have a front-wheel drive. I never reverse the tires.
Yep.
I just, when I take off, I put on the same damn place because it's on for 6 months and who cares?
Yep.
But I thought maybe I'd change. So I have a front-wheel drive car. When I put the tires back on, if I was to reverse, change the position on a front-wheel drive, which way do you go? Like front to back or kitty corner or left to right?
Okay, I'm going to take you on a history tour here. When bias ply tires, the tires that were around in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you always crisscross the tires. You always kind of did an X pattern. So you move the left front to the right rear to the left front, the left rear to the right front. You always kind of did that. Then radial tires came up. And even though radial tires were out longer than before the 70s and 80s, but radial tires, they always said, no, you got to just go front to back, because they develop a pattern from the way they sit in the car, and if you crisscross them, they'll tend to pull the car from one side to the other. So if you took the left rear tire and put it on the right front, because it used to be in on the left, it would tend to want to pull it in the other direction. And they said, no, just front to back, that's the only thing you do. Now, they say, you combine the two together. So what you do is you take, in theory, if you had four tires that match, you would take the left front, move it to the left rear, the right front, move it to the right rear, take the left rear and put it on the right front, put the right rear and put it on the left front. So you were sort of crossing the tires kind of 50% of the time. So the fronts would go directly to the back. The backs would crisscross coming up to the front. That's what the latest thought is. That's what you should do, because that does give the tires a little bit of evenness. But here's the real story. My car is on its second set of tires. It has 90,000 miles on them. I leave them in one spot till they wear out, and then I go buy another set. Some of it's laziness. Some of it, I know that you know, my car doesn't have a vibration in it. So if I move them, could it cause a vibration? Maybe, probably not cause a vibration, but I might feel a vibration that I don't feel right now. So I'm like, you know what? I'll just leave them right there. And unless I see something happening, if I see that, oh, well, it looks like there's, it's starting to pick up a little bit of wear, then I'll go get the wheels aligned, tires rotated, rebalanced if necessary. But if everything looks like it's wearing evenly, I'd take the front tires off, the snow tires off, put the other tires on the front, and don't worry about it. Do you have them? Do you have them marked left and right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, you know, and it, where I use snow tires, I figure, you know, they're on, the snows are on for,
right,
you know, 5 months, 4 months, and the others are on for 6 or 7. And,
yep.
But, and I may just keep doing what I've always
yeah,
done. But I
yeah.
had this, well, you know, I'm doing it today. It's a good day. I'll ask the doctor what's what. And I'll probably just do like you and yeah. do what I've always
yeah.
done.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, My wife's car that only has 15,000 miles on it, I think the last time it went in for an oil change, they rotated the tires, and I'm like, yeah, I guess. And honestly, I'm not sure if they really did or not, but I think they put down on the slip that they did. It's one of those things that I look at, and I'm like, yeah, it's not a bad idea. It's not going to hurt anything. But again, part of me is a little bit on the lazy side, and I just sort of look at it and go, you know, they're fine the way they are. But it would be different if I noticed something or I had a concern about scallopy wear or uneven wear. Then I'd want to do something about it. But other than that, I'd just leave it alone.
I thank you so very
okay.
much for your time.
All right. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Yeah,
bye-bye. Go Bruins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go Bruins.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You're right on. You're on that today.
That's my big sports knowledge here. It's the second half of the season.
Right.
Right?
Well, yeah. The second season.
Second
not the second half
second
of the season.
Season.
Second season.
Whatever it's called.
There's nothing like playoff hockey. Nothing. Sorry. That's my little.
That's all right. That's all right. Yeah. How about playoff basketball?
No. I mean, it's intense. It's more intense than regular
yeah.
season basketball, but playoff, there's nothing like playoff hockey. Yeah.
Should I come in at the end of the sports show and talk to the kids and show them how little I know about sports?
That could be a train wreck and a half. I don't think they'd know what to do.
Yeah.
They'd be like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. What's a third down? I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk about the car that I drove around last week, the 2018 Dodge Durango SRT 392. What does that mean? That means big engine. The Dodge Durango is a three-row SUV that comes in 5 trim levels, rear or all-wheel drive, and can be powered by a V6 engine, which I've driven before, and the V6 engine is actually pretty good, or a choice of 2 V8s. Our road test, in this case, was in the high-performance SRT version, 475 horsepower. It's not a Trackhawk of 707, but it's still a pretty potent engine, 6.2-liter V8 engine. The cabin of the Durango is nicely finished in comfortable and supportive seats, which are both heated and cooled. In addition, our tester also had a heated steering wheel. And again, stealing a line from George Kennedy, what do you call it?
Holy Trinity.
Holy Trinity. Remote car start, heated steering wheel, heated seats. He's kind of right. It's pretty good to have those three features in your car. The controls are simple to use with a combination of a large touchscreen and some rotary knobs. I'm not a big fan of touchscreens, but Chrysler's kind of got it down. They kind of understand, you know, make it as simple as possible, minimize the distraction. Don't make it Tesla huge that it's, you know, a 20-inch display that's just going to draw your eyes to it. Make it big enough where you can see it, but small enough so it's not in the way. I think they do a really good job with it. The middle row of our test model had bucket-style seats, too, so this was sort of a 6-seater, I guess, not 7. So it was 2-2 and 2 in the third row. The third row can fit adults. It got seat belts for 2 back there. A little tight back there, a little awkward to get to, like all third-row vehicles, but you could put 6 adults in it if you needed to. Storage is pretty good, even with the passenger seat seats all up, there was still pretty decent storage behind the rear seat. With the rear seats folded, you get about 85 cubic feet of cargo space, so a ton of space. The ride was firm in our performance-oriented test vehicle, but I don't think it was ever harsh. The overall handling was more sports sedan than SUV. Not surprisingly, there was some body lean on turns. I wouldn't call it a sports car by any means. The performance of the 475-horsepower V8 engine was very good. Fuel economy, on the other hand, 15 miles to the gallon overall. The exhaust was great, had a great exhaust rumble to it, not obnoxious in the car, but had a nice sound to it. Like I said, I drove the V6 295-horsepower version of Durango and found the ride a little bit softer. The overall fuel economy was close to 21 miles per gallon. The steering on both cars, easy at low speeds, firms up nicely at high speeds. A full suite of safety equipment are available, including semi-autonomous features such as automatic emergency braking. The Durango by Dodge, with its variety of engines, superior towing ability, and interior room, should be at the top of your list if you're in the market for a mid-size SUV. To me, I love the Jeep Grand Cherokee. Great vehicle. Nice size vehicle for me. A little out of my price range. But the Dodge Durango, I think, is really just a big Jeep. I think it just has that little bit more room in it. It would be great for somebody who says, you know, I want some of the capability, but I want a little more room. I need the room. I need the space. I need to fold down the seats when I have to. Even the front seat of this car, and Dodge is doing this in a lot of vehicles, the front passenger seat can fold flat. So if you really want to put something long in there, you can fold down all the seats and have from literally the glove compartment all the way back, unlike my car where I try to sneak something long between the seats and up on the dash, and just one of those things. So, again, kind of to recap, 475 horsepower, fuel economy, 13 city, 19 highway. I wasn't doing quite that good, about 15 overall. Base price starts at $32,000 for an all-wheel drive SXT, which is probably going to be the more popular one. This one, because it's a limited production, 392 cubic inches, 6.2-liter engine, 475 horsepower. They don't give these away, $73,000. So, expensive. Yesterday when I was going to, what's it called? The Sandwich Hollow Country Club's, Sandy Hollow Country Club, something like that, in Sandwich. Country Club in Sandwich. That's where I went to go talk. And it was, like I said, a good group of people. But I couldn't quite, I was there a few years ago, and I couldn't quite remember where it was. So I knew it was somewhere between Exit 3 and Exit 4 down the Cape.
I know where you're going with this because I have a similar situation that I'm going to tell you about after this.
And so even though the car that I'm driving yesterday had a GPS in it, I said, I'm just going to use the one on my phone because I am. Because it was handy to use because the person sent me the name. So I just clicked on the name in the email and it went right to Apple Maps. And so I'm driving back. I had to stop at the Dennis police station to drop something off. They're having an event at the Dennis Yarmouth High School in a couple of weeks, and they were looking for some giveaways, and I was able to come up with some giveaways for their event. And I'm like, hey, I know it's between exit 3 and exit 4. So the GPS had me get off at exit 4, drive down what's called the service road. It's a road that runs parallel to Route 6. A lot of people take it in the summertime to avoid the traffic. And somewhere along the line, it had me take a left turn. And the left turn, the road was patched with asphalt, little neighborhood road, but it was obviously a private road that had no maintenance done to it, big potholes in it. I'm like, geez, I don't remember this road getting there. I remember a nice road off the service road, nice and smooth. But it kept saying, you know, you're about a half a mile away or a mile away, whatever it was. And near the end of the road, it said bear right. And it turned into a dirt road that looked like it was an access road for power lines or something. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, well, this can't be right. And I wonder what percentage of the population would look at a road like that and say, well, that's what the GPS says. Let's keep going. Because it wouldn't have been pretty. And I guess I'm pretty sure that that road would have actually eventually come out to the country club. But I turned around and said, it's got to be down here somewhere. Went up another road, and sure enough, there's this big, beautiful, nicely paved road. No houses on it, no anything on it. Came right out to where it was supposed to be, but the GPS did not. It wanted to send me the shortest way, and the shortest way was through the woods. The road was bad enough. Where it wanted to send me was not even a road. So, do you have a...
Yeah, so last week I took my son for his 14th birthday out to a entertainment complex out in Marlboro called Apex Entertainment. Free advertising there, but whatever.
It's not like you didn't have to pay.
It's true. I know the area because I used to work out there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And this place did not exist while I was working out there, but I knew roughly where it was. So I put on the GPS just to make sure I knew where I was going. It had me take a left onto a road. I'm like, all right. Because when I saw where all these new complexes were, I'm like, all right, maybe there's a back entrance. Mm-hmm. It kept telling me I was on a residential road. It's clearly residential. Mm-hmm. The back of the building is to my right, and it said, you have arrived. I'm like, I know I have arrived, but
how do I get there?
How do I get into the complex? Because this road was a dead end. Mm-hmm. It had an outlet. Well, it was not, if I went, continued on, it was a dead end. Mm-hmm. Oh my! So I turn around. Luckily, I know because I worked there for so long. I'm like, all right, I know roughly how to get there. But this place was awesome. I'm sorry, but I have to talk about this.
That's
place.
All right.
This place
That's
is
all right.
awesome.
Okay.
So we went there.
What was the name of it again?
Apex Entertainment Center.
Okay, that doesn't sound awesome, but okay.
So we went there specifically because my son likes first-person shooter games, so mm-hmm. they have this virtual reality thing called Mindtrax VR. We went, there's a location in Woburn and this location in Marlboro. My son and I went to the one in Woburn a few months ago. He loved it. He wanted to do it for his birthday.
Yep.
So the one in Woburn is, that's it. You can only do that. This mm-hmm. one in Apex, at the Apex Entertainment Center, is tied into the whole center. So we did that. It was amazing.
It's virtual reality?
Virtual reality. You wear goggles, you wear a vest, you walk around in this big empty room, but you're in the game, so it looks like you're doing stuff. And mm-hmm. when you get close to one another, it has a proximity alert system saying you're within a...
Did you play?
I did. It was wicked fun. It was wicked fun. And so that's on the... So this thing is three floors in a basement, okay? So on the third floor, you have the virtual reality place, and you have an axe-throwing place.
Really?
Yeah. You have to be 18 to get into that place.
So like Paul Bunyan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then on the second floor, you have a big, huge trampoline park, a indoor playground for the younger kids, mm-hmm. and an escape room where you have to solve puzzles to get out of the room and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Really
Did you
cool.
guys do that?
No, we didn't do that.
Because there's one of those in...
There's a bunch of them. There's one in Foxborough. There's one in Fenway. And then attached to the second and third floor is also a two-floor Planet Fitness Center.
Okay.
So then on the main floor, you walk in, and there's a bar-restaurant area that's big. It has pool tables. It has those shuffleboard tables and things like that. And then in the – oh, and it also has simulators for – so that you can work on your golf swing, your batter's swing, mm-hmm. football, rugby, all sorts of different things. Tennis was really cool. And then on the basement, this is where it gets really fun. On the basement, it has a bowling alley that has candlepin and 10-pin, mm-hmm. a bar, a private room with some more bowling lanes and a private bar, a whole bunch of different party rooms, an indoor go-kart track, indoor bumper cars,
wow,
an arcade. And above the arcade is a ropes course and laser tag.
Wow.
I was like, holy, oh my gosh. It was amazing.
Yeah, I've only been to one sort of upscale. I've been to King's a couple of times. And, you know, they have the private, you know, if you have mm-hmm. a private party, you can bowl over there. And
this is like King's on steroids.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. If you have kids, even if you don't have kids, just go. You're going to drop. We dropped a couple hundred dollars, but you're going to drop a couple hundred, but it's amazing.
Did you go on the go-karts?
I did not go on the go-karts. Yeah. I wanted to go on the go-karts, but the line was too long. Oh. I'm like, I don't. We have to get. We had to get back by a certain time.
Yeah. Have you ever been over to F1?
Yeah. Yeah. I love F1.
Yeah.
I haven't been in there in a few years, but it used to be awesome.
I think they actually brought their prices down just a little bit because that would get pricey. And the restaurant over there was ridiculously expensive, and that came down a little bit. But there's another indoor go-kart track in Attleboro, maybe, or something. I've seen the billboards now. And
is it at the Kingston Mall?
No, this one's in Attleboro.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's a billboard right off of Route 95 on the Rhode Island Massachusetts border, and it says it's like 2 miles away. So,
all right.
Yeah. Now the some of these electric go karts are ridiculously fast. Somebody I know was over at the at F1, and they actually got kicked out because they were sort of cheating. They were going up on the edge of the bumpers and the jumping the curbs a little bit. And I don't know if it still is, but it was partially owned by one of the Aerosmith guys.
It was. I don't know if it still is.
Yeah.
Is the F1, but the F1 in Braintree was gas-powered. I remember that.
Yeah.
Are they still?
Yeah, they're still gas-powered. But the one in Attleboro are electric, and they're like ridiculously fast because it's instant torque. Yep. So, yeah. Yeah, the guy who owns F1, RJ Valentine, does a charity go-kart event down in New Seabury at the whatever that is, the shopping center, shopping place.
Mashpee Commons,
that's what it is. Mashpee Commons, thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
But down at Mashpee Commons, and you basically rent a go-kart for a lot of money. You need like whatever $10,000, and it goes towards charity. But usually, what it is, it's businesses. So it's the lumber company, and they get the window supplier and the paint supplier and somebody all to chip in a little bit of money, and they go down, they race for the entire day, and then at the very end they do some kind of race off at the end. But it's a whole day event, and they have it set up, they pretty much use, I don't know, half a mile of parking lot, and they have bridges, and they do a nice job. So that's it. Our phone number, 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Okay, time for trivia. This is a tough trivia question. You might have to use the power of the interweb to help you.
Cheaters.
Okay. The Dodge Scat Pack was originally introduced in 1968 with the Charger RT. What made the Scat Pack what it was? Too hard?
Might be.
Yeah, I know. I know. And know why it's so hard? I read the question wrong. But why was it called the Scat Pack? And as a bonus, name a car or two that it was on. So, and if you can come up with anything, we'll give you a hint, because I wanted the details of it, kind of did it wrong, but it was introduced by Dodge in 1968. There was something special about it, and name one of the four cars it was on. I'll even take one of the four cars, 617-770-3030. And I know there's some Dodge enthusiasts out there, some Mopar enthusiasts out there that will know the answer to this. I know there is. 617-770-3030.
I think you stumped people.
The phones aren't moving. we can do something. We can do something simpler, I suppose. You know, I don't know what it will be, but we can do something simpler, easier. It's all right. It's all right. Couple of recalls in the news. Drivers of more than 35,000 2006 model year Ford Rangers and Mazda B-Series pickup trucks. There is a recall that affects those trucks if you own one. It's a small pickup truck. You should be contacted by the vehicle manufacturer. There is an airbag issue. There's a lot of airbag problems, but this is one that you need to pay attention to, because people forget about these cars because they're so old, but you should have the faulty airbags replaced. because they can. And this is the one where Ford has said don't drive the vehicle because it can be really dangerous. So if you own one of these older Ford Ranger or Mazda series compact pickup trucks for 2006, it's not a lot. It's 33,000 Rangers and a couple thousand Mazda B-Series trucks. But they're saying that the airbag could even rupture and explode even if the vehicles aren't crashed. So a bump in the road, maybe?
That's not good.
Not good at all. Especially, it's bad when an airbag deploys by itself. But if it deploys and hard pieces of plastic and metal fly around the inside of the cab, not a good thing. Toyota Sequoia, there's a 75,000 Toyota Tundra and Sequoia models and SUVs being recalled in two separate recalls. Late model SUVs and pickups are being recalled 2017 and 2018, so brand new vehicles just about. They need either new software that has been inadvertently, I guess, put in the car, and also the rear seats weren't tightened correctly. So there was something just on the news about that, too, about somebody that, who either got badly hurt or killed.
Oh, a kid. Yeah, a kid got stuck. Yeah, yeah, he called 911 twice.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah.
And I guess on the second call, the 911 operator didn't give the exact location or didn't give the information to the officers when the kid gave him the exact location where he was.
Mm.
His father found him.
Horrible. So, and that was more than likely a recall as well, because there's been a bunch of recalls in third row seats where the seats weren't installed properly, or there was rust or corrosion, or dirt builds up in them because somebody takes them out, takes seat out and puts it back in, it doesn't lock up properly. So, bunch of things you need to worry about. So, make sure if you have a recall of your vehicle, it gets done.
Yeah, I never trusted those removable seats.
Yeah, yeah.
I figured there's too much that can go wrong.
IC Cars, the website, iccars.com, did a study, and they updated again their 2018 200,000-mile study. They looked at cars that will most likely reach 300,000 miles now. And they analyzed more than 13.5 million cars to determine which are most likely to reach a higher mileage number, except for the recall, Toyota Sequoia, Ford Expedition, Chevy Suburban, Toyota 4Runner, a lot of trucks in this, GMC Yukon XL, which is a Suburban, Chevy Tahoe, GMC Yukon, again, kind of twins, Tacoma, Avalon, and a Honda Odyssey. So if you own one of those vehicles, there's a good chance it's going to go at 200,000 miles and over that. So you can find out more information about the IC Cars website. And if you look around IC Cars, it's a car shopping website like Car Gurus.
Is it I as in the letter I and then?
Just like that.
C as in S-E-E or I-C as in the letter C? You got to be specific on these things with people.
It's like the movie I See Dead People.
Well, there's some movie I See Dead People, but I know what you're talking about.
All right. Yeah. Okay. it's just like that. Only it's IC Cars. The letter I, S E E E,
S E E E,
two E's, Cars, CARS.com. So iccars.com. You will find it's a good shopping website. It has a lot of dealers use these shopping websites now, whether it's Car Gurus or Auto Trader or IC Cars. IC Cars also, if you poke around in there, you'll even find me.
Is this the site that we had the woman on with us a couple weeks ago?
Julie. Yeah, yep. Julie. Yep. We've had her on. And Fong Lee is the guy who started the website, a tech guy. And he started it because he got frustrated going out car shopping. So I wanted a place where you could use it. I'm still car shopping, still not getting anywhere. I will eventually, but this week I used AAA's website. I used
wait. You work for AAA.
Yep.
And you haven't used their website.
Well, now I've decided maybe I should shop new instead of used. So. And I was using IC Cars and Car Gurus for their used car for looking at used cars. And I was looking for a car that was 2017 or newer, less than 25,000 miles, at about $20,000.
Ain't happening.
There's a bunch. But a lot of them are a little bit further away. Hyundai Santa Fe Sport, that's what I'm looking for. So a lot of them are a little bit further away than I want to go. I'd like something more convenient. I can go to Lemonster all day long, it seems like. There's a dealer out there that seems to have kind of what I'm looking for, but I just don't too lazy to go out there.
Lemonster's not that far.
I know. I'm just too lazy.
Where
to go
you
out
drive
there
all the time? I mean,
well,
Lemonster's like...
That's part of the reason. So I decided, you know what? Maybe, even though I firmly believe that new cars depreciate so fast the first year, it's not really worth buying a new car. But let's go see what there is for new cars out there. So I went on AAA's car buying website, which, little secret, it's really TrueCar. So,
Ooh. Yeah,
it's branded AAA auto buying, but behind AAA auto buying is really TrueCar. And I don't know how much of a secret it is, but it's a secret. And so you go in and you put your name and address and here's what I'm looking for. And sure enough, they give you three car dealers kind of within a certain geographical area, and they give you a price what the car dealer will sell the car for. And because I live on the South Shore, it was Prime in Rockland, McGovern in Brockton, and Route 44 in Raynham. And Route 44 in Raynham had this slightly more aggressive price by about $100 or so. Prime had the next price, and McGovern was the highest of the three. So already you've sort of narrowed your shopping down. You said, well, okay, for $22,300, I can go to Route 44 in Raynham, the Hyundai dealer there. For $22,400, I can go to Prime in Rockland. And for $23,500, I can go to McGovern in Brockton. Within minutes, my cell phone was ringing. Hey, I see you're interested in buying a car. How soon are you going to do this? And one guy said to me, like, today, this week, this month, this year? And I said, somewhere between today and this month. I don't know. I said, I haven't really decided yet. And I said, here's the criteria I'm looking for. Can't be red, can't be black. And kind of here's my price range. Can you come down and look at it right now? Calm down. So I'll eventually go looking to see what's out there. But I will say that these cars are, there's some pretty aggressive offers out there right now. There's some pretty good cash rebates where you can, a $27,000 car becomes a $22,000 and change car. And what's nice about the website is it's the final number. So the only number that's not included is the sales tax. So it's the, here's how much the car is. Bottom line, here's how much the car is, including dealer prep and dealer documentation fee, which is just total nonsense. I will continue to say that over and over again. I think there should be a state law that says that dealers can't charge more than $25 for documentation fee.
So,
not $495.
Yes. So I went... After I bought my Fusion,
mm-hmm.
I saw the dock fee and I'm like, I'm not paying the dock fee. And they're like, oh, it's, and I'm like, so then knock it off the price of the car.
Yeah.
I don't care. Mm. It's the principle of the thing.
Yeah.
So they knocked it off the price of the car.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Fine. One way or another, I'm paying it, but in principle, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
So then, when my wife was harping on getting an SUV.
Harping?
Not harping.
It's kind of a strong word.
Not harping. I shouldn't say harping.
Especially if she's listening.
No, she ain't listening.
Okay.
So.
Of course she is.
So when she was really wanting to get back into an SUV, and so we went looking for a couple things. We went back to the same dealership, mm-hmm. which is, I'm not going to say the dealership's name. And it was a whole new crew of salespeople and managers and stuff. And I went in and I was getting ready to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm still not 100% sold on the price, this, that, and the other thing. And then they showed me the dock fees of $550. I went, that's like what you're telling me. That dock fee is 2 months of my car payment.
Mm.
I'm like, I'm not paying $500. And it was written in, like, printed on the papers.
It actually has to be.
And I'm like, I'm not paying that doc fee. And he's like, well, I can't not charge you and charge somebody else. Yeah. I'm like, yes, you can, because they don't have to ever know. And he's like, well, it's hard written in there. I can't change that. Yeah. I'm like, well,
take it off the price of the car.
And that's what I said. Yeah. Take it off the price of the car like you did the last time when I bought this other car. I went from this very dealership. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm like, well, then I'm sorry, but I'm not going to buy from you. And they were like, oh, wait, what, what? And I was like, sorry.
Yeah, when I was shopping a month or so ago, they had a $500 doc fee on a used car. And I said, I just don't pay that. And he said, let me go check with the sales manager. And he came back and he's like, nope, you got to pay it. I'm like, oh, then I got to leave. You know, I said, I'm just not paying it. And I don't know what would happen if I tried that again, but it's if you pay it and I don't pay it, it's called discriminatory sales practices. So everybody, that's why they hard print it in there. But can they take it off? I mean, you know, at AAA, we buy hundreds of vehicles a year. We don't pay dock fees. You know, it's just, and they tried to charge us, and we go, we just don't pay dock fees. The last time I bought a car for Joanne and myself, we went to the same dealer about 3 or 4 months apart, and the guy remembered me, and he goes, yeah, I know, you don't pay the dock fee. And I'm like, nope. And when we bought the Volkswagen, I said they wrote it all up and it had a dock fee. And it was fairly, I guess, reasonable. It was like $300. And I'm like, I don't pay the dock fee. And the sales guy's like, and the owner was right there. And he goes, take it off the price of the car. He said, I'm not going to let you walk out the door for $300.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, good thinking.
Yep.
Because there's lots of dealers. Yeah. So anyway, let's talk to Greg in Melrose. Greg. Thanks for holding. Well, we were telling these sad stories.
Morning, John Paul.
Good morning.
I had a question there. I brought my E150 Ford VM, a 2008 VM, to a tire place, major tire place. They have tires.
Mm-hmm.
And it says on the jam, on the door jam of the vehicle, that it's supposed to have 80 pounds pressure in the rears and 55 on the front. It's a half ton, it's an E150. Right? So, but it says on the tires that they put on there, maximum pressure 51 pounds on the brand new tires.
Right.
And I'm saying, how can they put in, and they did put in the 80 pounds in the rear and the 55 pounds in the front, PSI.
Ooh, I wouldn't do that.
I immediately lowered the air pressure to 50 pounds all around.
Yeah. No, that van, for whatever reason, must have come with a tire that had a higher load rating. And maybe what they put on was a tire with a slightly lower load rating, and the lower load rating doesn't require as much air.
Right. So is it possible, I mean, can you run those tires on that vehicle is what I'm saying.
Well, that's the question. If you, chances are that you know, the tire that came on that vehicle when it was brand new was able to carry, you know, a half a ton of weight in the back of that van. Chances are the tire they put on there now is somewhere between a passenger tire and a light truck tire and not a true light truck tire.
Right.
Yeah. How much weight do you carry in this thing?
Well, it's actually a window wagon. You know,
So it's just people?
Passenger vehicle, you know. It's got the full bench seats and the two buckets in the front.
Yeah.
So it's not really a work vehicle, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's not like you're carrying, you know, 1,500 pounds in the back of it.
Yeah, not like loading carpet in there or something like that. It's just for the wife, it's the wife's vehicle. She drives it.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you know, there's different load range tires, and it sounds like they put on a size that fit, but maybe not the load range that it came with when it was new. So is it going to be okay? Sure. Is it going to be okay to carry the kind of weight it was designed to carry? I don't think so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 70,000-mile tires. And you get a free lineup with this tire company, right? And so naturally, they said they couldn't do the free lineup because they said that the toe is seized on the front.
Oh, one of the sleeves is, yeah. I know the tire. The tire company you're talking about is, they're fine price wise for tires and such.
Right.
Their free alignment is about what it's worth.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't get much of a. They basically, even if you know on your van's a little bit different, but you don't. They just try to set the toe in adjustment, and that's all they do. That's all they do on any vehicle. So you know they might claim, oh yeah, we'll do the free alignment. And if you went in there with a Toyota Camry, they go, well, we still just set the toe. We don't do everything. What year van is it?
2008.
Yeah. I was just wondering.
I bought it new.
Yeah. And it's an E150, right?
Right, half ton.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's one of those things that I don't know. Am I bothered by it? Not bothered a lot by it, but it's not really what they should have done. They should have put the right tire on there. Like I said, I don't think I'm bothered by the fact that, you know, is anything bad going to happen? I don't think anything bad is going to happen, but I am bothered by the fact that they didn't at least tell you that, hey, look, you know, we don't have the right load rating for this vehicle, and you know we have this tire and it's a good tire and it can do this and it can do that, but it's not the heavy duty tire you had on there. And but just the idea that they said, oh, we'll put 80 pounds of air in it on a tire that's only rated at 55. It means they don't know what they're doing. That bothers me.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
I know. I was surprised. I thought that it had the pressure low. That's why I went and checked it as soon as I, the next day after I had them put on, I checked the pressure, and sure enough, they were all up there. And I was thinking, you know, because remember they had a problem with the Ford vans, but I think it was the Maxi vans who were flipping over on the highway or something there. And I think, you know, I'm saying maybe that's why they got the pressure so high, so there's no sway, you know what I mean? In other words, you're riding on, like, hard rubber tires because there's not going to be any give in the tires with that air pressure.
Yeah, and air pressure controls weight. So, I mean, that's kind of part of it. So, you know, it is, you know, but that tire, I was just on a website trying to look it up, and that tire, you know, the original equipment tire on that was a 225/75/16 load range E.
Right.
And chances are the tire that they put on is not a load range E. Probably a load.
I think it's a T.
Yeah. So that's more of a. That's more of
but
a.
I mean, you know, I don't know what T means and E. You know what I mean? Yeah. As far as.
Yeah. So I mean, that's not. Again, it's not the. It's not the tire that should. Beyond there, I mean, it's
The other one would probably have higher, more ply rating, right? Higher.
Yeah, because
you know what I mean?
Because just looking up load range E, it carries a maximum weight of 2,600 pounds and a maximum tire pressure of 80. So what
right.
it is, it's just a lower capacity tire that, like I said, you know, is it going to be a problem? Probably not. And like you said, if you were, I'm looking out the parking lot right now at a probably an E150 with roof racks on it. It's probably a plumbing truck or an electrician or something. And, you know, and it's, you know, could somebody easily put, you know, 1,500, 2,000 pounds in the back of it? They probably could. But, you know, you just using it kind of as a passenger car, is it going to be a problem? Probably not, but it's not the right car. And if Massachusetts was really super fussy about vehicle inspection, and you came in and they said, I'm sorry, you know, you're supposed to have a load range E tire on here, and you don't, could they fail you for an inspection? But we're not that fussy. So, but it's not the right tire for the vehicle. The right tire for the vehicle should be a load range E tire. And I don't know if you want to go back and complain about it and tell them, you know, they you know, you
want to give you a 30-day satisfaction guarantee.
I'd go back. Yep. I'd go back and talk to him and just say, hey, look, you know, you didn't put the right tire on my car. You put the wrong load range. The right load range is supposed to be an E, and that's not what you put on.
Right.
Yeah.
I got another question, if I can, about, I got a 2008 F-150, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the front, I think the wheel bearing's gone. It's only got 35,000 miles on it, right?
Yep.
But front wheel bearing's gone, and I'm used to the inner and outer wheel bearings, and now they're telling me what? It's a wheel bearing assembly or something.
Yeah,
it has to be pressed in and pressed out of the rotor, and so you might as well just buy a rotor, I guess. Is that what they usually?
Is it four wheel drive?
No, it's only a 4x2. It's a front, three wheel drive.
Yeah, and it's a. You said it was just an F-150, right? Nothing.
Right, yeah, half ton, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, I don't believe. I mean, I'll when we take a break, I'll look it up and just to make sure, but I think that's just a normal wheel bearing assembly unless in that particular model there was something weird, but
Yeah,
I don't.
I got it now. I got the hubcap off. I'm just ready. It's a six lug rotor. So I'm gonna jack it up now and pull the rim off and take a good look at it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, you know, to me, I remember it just as being a
standard inner and outer.
Yeah, nothing fancy that I can think of. But let's see if we have. Stay right there. Don't go away. Let's see if we can figure something out here.
As you know, I don't do computers.
This is great radio, by the way.
I know, isn't it?
It's fantastic radio.
Is it fantastic radio? Yeah, I know.
I'm 70 years old. The technology has gone by me, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I don't know what
I'm an old backyard mechanic. Like.
Yeah, it looks like, let's see, what's it say here? Because I don't, let's see. Remove the bolt position caliper, remove the cotter pin, wheel nut, discard the cotter pin, discard the axle nut, remove the brake disc, wheel bearing, hub assembly. It looks like it's going to be pretty obvious when you look at it. I think it's going to be pretty straightforward. I don't think there's going to be much to it.
I might have been getting this information from the
auto part. It very well could be, because on the other hand, I don't see a lot of prices about it either. So, it doesn't look like a hub assembly. Yeah. So if it was
on the four wheel drives, is that what they have?
Yeah, that's a little bit different. So.
Yeah,
the four-wheel drive is a little bit different. Again, just bigger bearings, and I don't know. You know, at this point, I think you just got to take it apart and look at it and see what's there. And you may find it's a sealed assembly. You might not. But the picture of it that I'm looking at looks like just a regular wheel bearing. So,
well, it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck. Bye bye.
Bye.
But pictures can lie, and I don't remember. And it is 8-10 years old. So. Who knows? We need to take a break, apparently, because Dennis is playing music. Hey, and I know who's not going to be here at 10 o'clock. I bet Professor Paul Sullivan is down visiting his grandkid because it's school vacation week. We'll be right back.
There's only one car that I need. It's built for comfort and built for speed. American classic that I want to ride. Ride around, ain't gonna hide. Big car, old and heavy. I want to ride a 56 Chevy.
Kind of like the song. Okay, Greg, if you're still listening and you haven't got that wheel off yet, it is a sealed bearing. It includes the, it also includes the ABS sensor as part of it, and it's so it's sealed. It bolts on in the back, so you take the rotor off. Like I said, it was going to be pretty apparent. You take the rotor off, take the cotter pin and nut off, and there's I think three or four bolts behind it. Comes off as an assembly. Throw it away. Put a new one on. And that should solve it. Let's talk to Kevin in Salem. Kevin.
Yeah, hi, John. How you doing?
Good,
man?
How are you?
Good. Listen, I was listening to that guy at the E-150 van.
Yep.
I worked for one of the major tire distributors yep. for a number of years. And if you go to a Walmart and you got a Toyota Camry or a Honda Accord that has V-rated tires, I don't know a lot of Camrys and Accords that are doing a sustained 149
yeah.
miles
yeah.
per hour, but they will not put on an H-rated tire
really?
To save you 20. Oh, no, they won't
yeah.
do it. If,
oh.
if that car came with V-rated tires, if it came with H-rated tires, they won't put on a T. That low-range tire, I'd bring the truck back and say, I'll pay you the proper price for the proper tires, but those tires are coming off and the correct tires are going on. It may have been illegal for them to do that.
Yeah, yeah, I know, because it like I said, I think for, you know, practical purposes, is you know, it's a passenger car, basically. It's not a work truck, but it's a load, you know, it should have a load range e-tire on there, and it doesn't. So, yeah, it's the wrong tire. I mean, even though it fits, it's the wrong tire.
Yeah, and because he said he was talking about the T, well, obviously that was the
yeah,
speed rating,
right?
You know,
right.
225.
Yeah, not the weight.
Yeah. But I heard that, and you know, is the guy going to have a serious safety issue? Well, maybe not if he's not carrying
yeah.
weight around. But I mean, I'm not going to second guess that.
Yeah.
You know,
I was telling a story earlier about a restaurant I went to, and I ordered the chicken sandwich that was supposed to be made with thigh meat, and it was kind of unique because it was, you know, a dark meat grilled chicken sandwich instead of white meat. And when I got the sandwich, it was a chicken breast. And I'm like, and I said to the person, well, this isn't what I ordered. They're like, oh, yeah, you ordered the chicken sandwich. I'm like, no, it said it had dark meat, and this isn't dark meat. It's white meat. And they're like, well, yeah. And I'm like, but isn't what it says on the menu. And it's just like, you know, Kevin, he didn't get what he paid for. I mean, Greg didn't get what he paid for. So, yeah.
You and I are on the same frame of mind on
yeah.
that. Yeah, that's what it said. That it should
yeah.
be. I don't know if they did it by doing competence or if they knew they were putting on the wrong tires and they figured this guy won't know. But
well,
I would bring it back.
Well, you said you used to work for a tire store, and if the maximum tire pressure on the tire was 55 pounds, and the truck said 80, and the customer said put 80 pounds in the tire, would you have done that?
Oh, absolutely.
No,
not.
No, no. They're obviously not doing their job. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually,
yeah.
I work for a tire distributor. Not
oh,
a tire
okay.
store. We,
all right.
So, I mean, I deliver tires
yeah.
to all these places.
Yeah.
And yeah. If I was that guy, I would, you know, I would, under no uncertain terms, I'd bring it back and say, put on the correct tire.
Yeah. No, I think you're right on the money.
You're not getting any takers on your scat pack, are you?
Well, I got Mike from Bridgewater who says he might have an answer. So
okay, I'll get off.
All right.
And listen. Thank
all
you
right.
very much.
All right. Good luck. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right. So Greg, go get new tires, and it's a seal wheel bearing. And I just looked on an online website. You'll pay anywhere from $65 to $99. So who knows how much it is if you go get it in person. But where are we going? Len and Bill Rico. Lenny.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
the SUV, the, you mentioned the Hyundai and the Kia. Mm-hmm. Is there much difference between the Sorento and the Santa Fe?
Between the Santa Fe and the Sorento, they're pretty similar. The Santa Fe Sport's a little bit smaller. So the Santa Fe Sport only comes in a four-cylinder. The Santa Fe comes in a variety of engines, a little bit more. It's got a three-row, and the Sorento is can be ordered as a three-row.
Yeah, no, I'm looking for used, and I'm looking for a SUV now.
Yeah,
and,
what year?
I'd like to get at least a 2015.
If you're looking, you know, if you're looking at those, you know, they both can be pretty good cars. So, what's your budget?
You know, 20, 22.
Yeah, 20. You know, 20 or 22. You can. You know, it depends on what you want. I mean, there's a lot out there. I'm not, and I've done it a couple of times now, I'm not afraid of former daily rentals, you know, Hertz, Avis, you know.
Yeah.
Go check, like, where they sell them directly. Like, Enterprise has a place in Route 1 in Westwood.
And
they typically keep the better ones for themselves, and the other ones go to the auction. So it's worth taking a look at those, and you might be able to find something a little bit newer with maybe just a little more miles than what you think should be on it for what you're getting. But you're still going to get the remainder. You're the second owner, so you're going to get the remainder, and you may get, if it's a certified pre-owned through Hyundai or Kia, you'll get the full factory warranty. So look around and see what you'll get, and they do the certified pre-owned, I think, right down to 2015. So definitely shop around, and I've owned a Kia before, I've owned a Hyundai before, and I've had pretty good luck with both. So
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Lynn. Thanks. Yep.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's see. It's John in Boston. John, is that you?
Hi, Sean.
Yes, sir. Good. How are you?
I was wondering, the second vehicle that, you know, when you're talking about a car, is this a second vehicle or is it your only vehicle you're going to be using? Because there's two vehicles I wanted to mention.
For what?
Well, you said you're interested in a car. Is that right? Shopping for a car?
So he's asking you, what are you going to be using your vehicle as your primary vehicle or a secondary vehicle?
Oh, primary vehicle.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. They had mentioned that vehicle that was made in Massachusetts. Did you get a chance to see that on YouTube, the Pebble?
Oh, yeah, I don't think that wouldn't quite do what I need it to do.
Okay, because a lot of people don't know, but it's relatively new. It carries two people. It's enclosed. It's heating in up to 100-mile range. It's kind of like the Messerschmitt.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. I got to tell you, I like odd things like that. But yeah, it wouldn't be. I mean, every time I walked by a smart EV yesterday, and I looked at it, and I said, I still kind of like these are even as small as they are. So I saw a Chevy Bolt when I was coming to the radio station this morning. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's some electric cars out there now. The Hyundai Kona is an electric.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually drive that on Tuesday for a little bit. The Hyundai Kona it looks like a great little car, and it's got ridiculous range. It's got 275.
Over 200 and something miles.
No. But still not quite the primary car that I need, so. But close, though.
Well, I thought the Pebble would be good for people who are interested. No insurance registration are required because it's an electric bicycle under federal law.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's not made for the highway, but yeah. It goes 20 miles an hour up to 100 miles around the city.
Yeah.
So
as soon as I move to Martha's Vineyard, that's what I'll get.
Well, that could be. And then there's another vehicle. I don't know if you know about it. It's kind of, I seen it at a truck stop coming back from Florida. It looks like a Sprinter van. It's 27 feet long. It's only four wheels, so you don't have to buy six tires.
Yeah.
And it's made by an American company in China called The Change. It's, you would think it's spelled C-H-A-N-J-E, Changey, but it's called Change 8070.
Yeah.
100% electric van.
Yeah,
it
I haven't.
Would be good if you have a business.
Yeah. No,
you know about that?
No, I haven't seen that, but I have seen the Frito-Lay.
Well,
I have seen the Frito-Lay electric van. So, you know, electric delivery, you know, you get your potato chips electrically. Potato.
Yeah.
How come I say that?
It's a new vehicle.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. You can make a good food truck if you got a route. And it just looked just like a Sprinter van, but it had no Mercedes tag on it.
Yep.
And looked on YouTube, and Ryder is going to be renting them out.
Yeah. No. I think as long as the wires don't melt off the poles, we'll all be fine. So.
But, I mean, you can take a look at that on YouTube.
I will. I will.
J.E., all-electric van, and that's what a truck should.
Yeah.
And it's all electric, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if that, there was an electric van that was supposed to pick me up at the Detroit Auto Show a couple of years ago, and they sent me an email, and they said, hey, we'll pick you up and bring you to your hotel, and I texted them, and they said, oh, yeah, the guy should be there shortly, and I stood out front for like 15 minutes in 5-degree weather, and I called up, and I said, where is it? And they, oh, he couldn't make it. I'm like, thanks. I've been standing out here freezing. Hey, we got to go.
Well, okay, thank you.
All right,
you.
Thank you. All right, I think we have a guess at trivia. Let's see what we got. Let's see. Other than Dennis can't figure out how to work the phones, but he's got this, you know, he knows he's not supposed to make it go click on the air.
Well, if they actually program the board the way it should be programmed, and they put that should not happen.
All right,
it's kind of user error, but okay. I can finagle it so that doesn't happen, mm-hmm. but.
We shouldn't have to. We talked about this earlier. Did anyone die?
This is true.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, guess for trivia. What do you think?
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
I'll just listen to you guys back and forth.
Yeah, I know. Just yeah.
Very entertaining. Thank you very much. Yeah, that was the. I believe that was the performance package you could add to different cars, and I remember it used to have. Some sort of a bumblebee in stripes that, if I remember correctly, and I did tell Dennis that I did the cheater thing, so
yep.
I went back and looked, and I'm not sure exactly what you wanted, but, you know, I would see it on the Coronet or the Dart, especially. I used to work in a gas station
yep.
at that time, and just remembered. So I'm not sure if I've answered your question, but...
Well,
you
have answered my question enough, because what I was supposed to say when I was creating this question was... There was in 1968 there was the Charger, the Coronet, the Dodge Dart GTS, and the Super B, and they had a special package that was capable of running the quarter mile in 14.99 seconds or faster. What was that special package called? And then you would say the Scat Pack, and I'd say you're a winner. But because I read the question wrong, you're still a winner.
All right, John, if you want, you can ask it that way. John, I think it was called the Scat Pack.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You are a winner.
Thank you, John.
All right. Yeah, and it's not like, as it was just pointed out to me, it's not like it was scribbled in my awful handwriting. I actually typed it out, but for some reason I just didn't answer it correctly. So.
That's okay.
Yeah, it could be my old age.
It's the prices of radio. You know how.
There it is. Stay right there, Dennis. Dennis will take down your address, and we'll send you some phenomenal prize.
Okay.
All right.
Have a nice long weekend.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh, it's not a long weekend for me. I have to work, unlike other people. Bobby Brooks has to work. Bobby Brooks is in the studio filling in for Paul Sullivan, and he kind of motioned, I got to work, too. And apparently Salem Radio has to work because there's no sign in the door here. I think Bobby Brooks is running the marathon. He's practicing now. I noticed a couple weeks ago coming to the radio station, I think it was the Dorchester Runners Club or something, and they were practicing up and down around here, and good for anybody who runs a guy I work with is running the marathon. He was a couple years ago. He sprained his ankle doing the marathon and still powered through 4 hours and like 58 minutes later. But he still did it. He finished. And lately, he's been doing it. The last couple years, he does it every year for charity. So I always give anybody credit. So.
Yeah, I blew up my knee training for the marathon, so
did
I
you?
Can't do that
you
anymore.
You can't do it anymore, yeah.
But yet I can still play basketball, even though the doc doesn't like me to.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, could be a story. Maybe not. I don't know.
Could be, but we don't have time.
Yeah. Hey, Bobby Brooks is right behind you. Have him grab the microphone and say hi.
Top of the morning, sir.
Top of the morning to you, too.
It's
I noticed
to
you have your Pat Sheehan's Pub shirt on.
Yeah, it was the thing that was clean and didn't need to be ironed, so I threw it on.
There you go.
And they're one of our sponsors, so we like to support them.
Yeah, no, it's all good. So you're filling in for Professor Sullivan this morning, filling in for Sully.
I am.
What you got lined up for this morning?
Just a bunch of good stuff, you know, keeping it 15 hours of the best Irish music in the United States, just keeping it going. And getting ready, we have a couple of guest speakers coming in tonight.
Really?
Yeah, Winnie Henry's coming in to talk about the Irish Hearts for Orphans, yep. Big event mm-hmm. they do up at the Quincy Marriott yep. tomorrow. So got her coming in. That's a great event. I've gone the last couple of years. It's yep. really fun, and it goes to a great cause. So yep. we'll have her come in, and you know, we're going to do a tribute at noontime for Yarmouth Police Officer yep. Sean. Mm-hmm. You know, Sean Gannon, too, which is just awful. Yep. So, but we're going to keep it going. You know, the Irish music takes us away from the struggles of the week. Mm. So
that's right.
That's my goal
that's
today.
Right. Well, it was funny. Yesterday when I was down in Sandwich giving a little talk, I said something about, oh, by the way, I do this little radio show on Saturday. And they said, oh, what station is it on? And I said, oh, it's on AM 950 WROL. And they went, oh, the Irish music station. Yeah, I listen right. to that every weekend.
Yeah.
So I said, tune in a little earlier.
Yeah, that's yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I gave you the plug today.
Yeah,
I put
I know,
it on Facebook.
I know. You know, we work to help each other out.
We do.
That music means I got to go. The very best in Irish music is coming up. Listen all weekend. They'll all be here. All the guys will be here. And they all have different personalities, but they all play great Irish music. Until next weekend, make sure you wear your seatbelt. Drive safely. Be good to your car. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.